Good morning. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. If you are a visitor, please know that you are an honored guest. We would ask that you take one of the little white cards out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address. We might have a record of your attendance. I remember years ago setting and finding some televangelist telling the people that was watching his program, if they had an illness or an issue or something that was troubling them, that if they would send a $25 check, he would pray for them. Do you remember watching anything like that? Yeah. Or he would say, put your hand on the TV while we pray and the issue or the problem that you have will be taken away. Have we really stopped and thought about the miracles that we read about in the Bible? Myself, I sit sometimes and I read some of the miracles that Jesus did and the apostles did, and I'm thinking to myself, man, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be great if we could actually see someone being raised from the dead, or someone that had leprosy being cleaned immediately? Whereas the woman with the issue of blood just touching the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. Wouldn't it be fantastic to be living in a day when true miracles really happened and not the sleight of hands by man to trick others? This morning, I want to bring a lesson basically titled Three Things. But additional to that is three things about miraculous gifts. And I want us to truly stop and think about the miracles that we read about in our Bibles. Many in society think that if you believe in miracles, then you believe in fairy tales. We need to come to an understanding that it's not a fairy tale, that we can read, understand, study, and believe because of the miracles that was performed. The Bible is a book of amazing miracles. Do you believe me? I'm going to give you some evidence, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Was there a greater miracle than that? If God in the beginning had not created the heavens and the earth, then there would be no place for us. So we would not have been created. What about the parting of the Red Sea? Have you really ever truly thought about that? Exodus 14, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Think about this. Here's the Israelites. They're facing the Red Sea, and it's been estimated that there were some 10 million people That's more people that live in New York City. How wide did that have to be parted in order for all of those people to cross? You know, it wasn't just a short or a very narrow area where only one or two people could go by at a time, because that would have taken a long, long time. But it wasn't only the people. It was all of the animals that they had with them. It was the carts and everything that they brought out of Egypt. When they crossed the Red Sea, there was nothing left behind them except the Egyptian army. You know, most of us read about Moses parting the Red Sea. Oh, that's a great miracle. But when we truly stop and think about the magnitude of that miracle, that they passed on dry land. What about the fiery furnace? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Daniel chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. That's Nebuchadnezzar talking. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You remember what happened there? King Nebuchadnezzar was so upset with these three young men that he wanted the furnace to be fired up, I believe if I read correctly, seven times hotter than it was. And it was so hot that the men that literally threw the three young men in perished because it was so hot. But then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now, if you read on, it states that not one hair on their head was singed. There was not even the smell of burnt or smoke on them. Their clothes had not been touched. What a miracle. I know there's times that I'll open the oven door and that heat rises up and hits me in the face and I'm thinking, wow, that was hot. Can you imagine being thrown into a fire that was so hot that it killed the men that threw you in, but yet you walked around in it like it was water, like you was walking in air? And what did it say? And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What a miracle. Do you believe this account of Daniel? We better. What about the resurrection of the dead? Luke 7, verse 14 and 15. And he came and touched the bearer, and they that bore him, this is the son of the widow in the city of Nain, he died. Jesus stopped the bearer, and they that bore him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now, is this true? Or is it a fairy tale? If we believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, if we believe that God parted the Red Sea, if we believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came up out of that fire unharmed, then we better believe this, that Jesus rose this man up from the dead. Well, then we have the account of Lazarus. John 11, verses 1 through 44. Martha and Mary sent to Joppa to call Peter. I'm sorry, that's Dorcas. Lazarus, Martha and Mary. Jesus understood that Lazarus was dying and dead. He waited, what, 2 days? So that there would actually be no mistake that he was actually dead. And Jesus simply called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. Then we have the account of Dorcas, Acts chapter 9, verses 36 and 42 through 42. If you look at verse 42 in Acts chapter 9, you will see that when Peter brought Dorcas back to life, it says, and many believed. So what was the purpose of the miraculous gifts? Why did they perform these great miracles? You know, going back to the parting of the Red Sea, it's hard for me to understand that it wasn't too long after that that the Israelites fell back into idol worship. How in the world, seeing such a miracle, could they return to idol worship? When, you know, when Moses was on Mount Sinai and Aaron fashioned a golden calf. Miraculous gifts were given by God to men. Take your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul is saying here, hey, I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to fully grasp what I'm saying. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, miracles are not simply amazing feats, but they are events that transcend or supersede natural laws. Natural laws. We have what's known the natural law of physics. It means anything outside of that that we know of is impossible. But you know what? God does not work within our natural law of physics. Am I right? They are amazing feats. They transcend and supersede natural law. And that's why those who do not believe think that they're fairy tales. Because they cannot see that God works outside of physical law. But one thing we need to fully come to an understanding about is that the miracles were for a specific reason and during a specific time. Miraculous gifts have ceased. So when you see a televangelist telling someone to send them $25 and they're going to heal them, or put their hand on their TV, then what are they doing? They're lying. While miraculous abilities were real, they had an expiration date placed upon them by God. 1 Corinthians 13. Look, starting in verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, read the whole chapter. But I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 8 through verse 10. Charity, or love, never faileth. It means it's going to continue forever, isn't it? But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11? It talks about all of the different gifts of the Spirit. Here Paul says that these things are going to cease. They're going to stop happening. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and see, that was the reason for the miraculous gift that the apostles had and those that they passed on to have some kind of a miraculous gift, whether it be healing or knowledge or prophecy or speaking in tongues or the interpretation of tongues. They're going to cease. That's what Paul's saying. And they only knew things in part. They did not have the entire revelation of God in their grasp. The miracles were there to help people to believe and to understand that these men were of God. And what they were teaching and preaching was from God. For we know in part, Paul saying, hey, we didn't have all of the answers. And we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, they're going to cease. They're going to stop. The Apostle John was the last apostle that lived to around, I believe, AD 90. After he passed, all of the miracles that individuals had that were given to them by the apostles, when they died, it died. The fact that miraculous gifts does not exist today does not mean that we've been cheated. We've not been cheated. We have the opportunity to read and to understand and to accept reliable testimony of miracles. Don't we? Have you ever wondered about a first century Christian, how he might feel that we're the ones with the advantage because we have that which is perfect that's come? They didn't. As Paul says, we only know in part. We prophesy in part because we didn't have the whole outline. So why does it matter? Why does it matter about the miraculous gifts and the fact that they have ceased? It's because of religious exploitation that is taking place. People who are desperate for hope are drained of their money, drained of their faith, drained of their hope by the charlatans that we have today professing to work miracles. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow after their pernicious ways. And that word there, if you don't know what it means, it's literally wasteful ways, destructive ways. And many shall follow their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken evil of, and it is today. Many speak evil of God's word. And though covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, not that their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, recompense is coming. Then we read in the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because of what Peter said. There are many false prophets among you. And they're going to be coming in to seek to destroy. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's not going to be any more. You know, people today have proclaimed that God has revealed to them more information. It's not happening. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees with fruit, whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I truly do feel sorry for those people who are trying to deceive the masses, because the outlook for them is not good. But you know, it really thrills me when I read of the miracles of the Bible, because it teaches us that they literally have fulfilled their purpose, and that purpose was to confirm the identity of Jesus Christ and that he was from God. Mark 16 and verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I'll tell you what. If I had lived back then and I'd seen Jesus or one of the apostles literally raise someone from the dead, I think I'd believe without a shadow of a doubt. But you know what? We don't have that today, but we do have it written down for us that gives us courage, it gives us hope, it gives us strength, and it will enable us to withstand all of the naysayers, all of those that are trying to destroy us. And it's my hope that you will allow the miracles that you read about to do the same thing for you. This morning, if you're here and not a child of God, then you're outside of the